15 seconds. Bit of patchy fog as well. Tonight, south winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds, and southwest 3 to 5 feet at 15 seconds with patchy fog and possible drizzling on Sunday. South winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds, and southwest 3 to 5 feet at 15 seconds. There's going to be some fog and a chance of showers with drizzling out there as well. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, nothing major to report at this time. If you see something out there, give me a call, 475-1080, and I'll report it. Current temperatures, we've got Watsonville at 55. It's foggy and drizzly over there. In Monterey, it's 56, partly cloudy. It's cloudy in Salinas at 55 degrees. We are also at 55 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time, 10.07 and 2 seconds on this Saturday, October 16th, 2010. Up next, we've got the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
How does it feel to be Nikki James?
It always feels fantastic.
I can understand that. You're such a positive, upbeat person. Even in a dark, dreary, monochrome day, it isn't. There's no color out there.
Doesn't mean I don't like it.
Yeah, I know. Would you be willing to bottle and sell your enthusiasm?
I should, right?
You really should.
I could be a millionaire.
I'm not kidding at all. Anyhow, we are going to have a wonderful program today. It's going to put out an awful lot of information. So let's start it officially, okay?
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. Time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
You know, the Saturday special always used to be a controversial topic discussion program. Somehow it evolved into something else. It became more difficult as the years went by to get competent and articulate spokespersons on both sides of a controversial topic to get together. But it's just like the good old days today. We got both sides represented, so stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Not since the nasty private well metering controversy and near lynching back in the mid-90s has the Santa Cruz County supervisors kicked up such a hornet's nest. What is proposed now is a vacation dwelling rental ordinance whereby owners of such properties would essentially be treated as motel owners and be subject to mandatory inspections, occupancy limits, and of course, occupancy taxes. Sparked by complaints from neighbors disturbed by loud parties at all hours, County Supervisor John Leopold has initiated this ordinance and has agreed to explain it and debate it with opponent Dr. Anthony Abenay from Good Neighbors of Santa Cruz County on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Sometimes Some of Us Have to Give Up Some Property Rights for the Good of the Neighbors and the Community, or Do We? Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Start the program with an apology to Dr. Anthony Abenay.
That's correct.
I said it right this time. Yes. If I screwed it up in the promo.
Not a problem.
Welcome to KSCO, Dr. Anthony Abenay, an orthopedic surgeon and a representing a group called Good Neighbors of Santa Cruz. And welcome to Supervisor John Leopold of the 1st District.
It's good to be here in the 1st District.
It is here in the 1st District, as you pointed out. First District encompasses Capitola and Live Oak.
No, not really. Not
Capitola.
Live Oak, Soquel, Santa Cruz Garden, Carbonero Estates, Paso Tiempo, and the Summit area.
Oh, okay. But, and including here, where KSCO is situated.
I consider the First District to be the media capital of Santa Cruz County because we have both KSCO and KUSP.
Oh, great. So. Good point. All right. Welcome to both of you. Okay. I can't wait to get into this controversial topic. Okay. Who wants to present, who wants to start out the program with an expression of the problem, which I think you will probably both agree on? I'll ask you, John.
Yeah, sure. Last year, I helped lead a process in the First District in Live Oak and Soquel primarily around how we spend our redevelopment funds. I thought people should have a stronger say in how we spend their tax money. And 500 people came out, and we came out with a plan that I thought was really, really good and reflected a broad consensus. During the process of that plan, we heard a lot about the state of our neighborhoods. And there are certain things that redevelopment can do, and there are certain things they can't. And there are a couple things that, that came out of that. One was looking at this issue about vacation rentals. We'll talk about that in a moment. And the other is a process to build neighborhood leaders, a group, a program that I call LION, Leadership in Our Neighborhoods, modeled after something that they're doing over in San Jose and will be launching later on in 2011. But neighbors came to me and were concerned about the health of their neighborhoods. And they were troubled by particular houses that were creating lots of problems in their neighborhood. And that were, that required calls to the sheriff's department that, that really altered the nature of their neighborhood. And, when I started looking at it and looked at what the county had done over the past, or not done really, it was clear that, for over 10 years, our housing element has said that we were looking, we would be looking into this issue about vacation rentals, but we never had. So when we proved our, housing element, this past year, I said, we need to dig into this issue and, took a look at, vacation ordinances in, I don't know, there's something like 18 cities and 8 counties and tried to pick out the best parts of those ordinances, not go as far as some have, but try to create something that balanced the needs of, neighborhoods and strengthening our neighborhoods. And property owners. And I don't think we've created what I proposed, I'm happy to talk about, would look something like they have in the city of Capitola, which they've had for a long time, but not go as far as they do in Carmel or the city of Monterey or Monterey County, which has basically an outright ban on vacation rentals.
Wow.
One of the things that I'll just say, in addition to the noise complaints that and just some of the bad actors that are in vacation rentals. One of the things that was clear as we've done more and more research on this is it's really an issue about planning, because when you start mapping out where vacation rentals are, and here in the First District, there are over 200 between the Yacht Harbor and 41st Avenue. You start seeing whole blocks becoming vacation rentals, and that will ultimately have a deleterious effect on the health of our neighborhoods, because we shouldn't be turning residential neighborhoods into commercial zones. And we certainly shouldn't be doing it unconsciously. We should make a conscious choice that we're going to turn neighborhoods. I wouldn't support that. But what we're seeing is in an unregulated industry that's growing here in Santa Cruz County, that we're losing some of our neighborhoods. I want to stand against that.
Okay. So let's talk about the ordinance. We could talk to Dr. Benny now, but there's no point in doing it because we're here to discuss the ordinance. So, how did the ordinance evolve?
Well, I mean, as I explained,
the proposed ordinance. What is the proposed or did I say it all in the promo? Did that cover it all?
No. Well, I think you got something wrong. So let me tell you a little
bit
about
that.
I brought to the board my suggestions about what should be in an ordinance. And at the time, I was just looking at it in a very small area of live oak that would cover the parking district, where, you know, the parking district is our most impacted coastal neighborhood in Live Oak, and where we see a lot of the vacation rentals.
Sure.
But my colleagues were concerned about what this meant for the health of coastal neighborhoods and all the neighborhoods in Santa Cruz County. And at the suggestion of my colleague, Supervisor Peary, she asked to be expanded throughout the entire county, not just Live Oak.
So you were looking for just a Live Oak only ordinance?
That was there. That when I first looked at it and saw the impact that was happening in the coastal neighborhood in my district, that's what I was looking at. I was not trying to. I wasn't looking for something across the county, but my, right. as I say, my colleagues felt that was important, and they voted 5-0 to ask our planning department to come up with an ordinance. And that ordinance, we directed them to talk about geographic boundaries, permit requirement, length of stay limitations, usage limitations, occupancy, signage, management, geographic concentration, parking, transit and occupancy tax, et cetera. And the at the request of Supervisor Campos, we put together a meeting of representatives from vacation rental property owners that he had helped identify, and neighbors, primarily from Live Oak and the Seacliff Rio Del Mar area.
Okay.
To just talk about some of the concerns that were there. I had proposed in my letter to the board that we have a limitation of no less than 7 days for any rental. That's what they do down in Monterey County. That's what several other communities do. In the course of that conversation we had with vacation rental property owners and neighbors, it changed to be one tenancy in 7 days. So you could rent it for as many days as you wanted to, but you could only have one tenant every 7 days. And then the planning department put together an ordinance in which they covered a lot of these areas. They also expanded it to look at some of the affordable housing issues, and they placed restrictions on multi-unit structures that wasn't originally in the ordinance, and that's drawn a lot of criticism, and I could see some of the criticism there, but I also understand what they were trying to do.
So you say the planning department injected what was
As they looked at the housing issues. There's one thing about single-family homes that are turned into vacation rentals, but when you have a multi-unit complex that turns into vacation rentals, their concern was that's a more likely stock of affordable housing than the single-family homes. So they thought, as a way to deal with the housing issues, that we should place restrictions on doing it at multi-unit structures. There's been a good case that's been made to me that if you live at the property, that's a way different circumstance. So we could talk about that some more.
Okay.
But then we took it out to the Housing Advisory. They took their ordinance out to the Housing Advisory Commission. There were two very well-attended hearings. The Housing Advisory Commission is going to be has suggested changes that will come back at their meeting on November 3rd. The Planning Commission will look at it November 10th, and it'll come to the board sometime after that. We originally had proposed it coming back November 16th. It'll probably be after that when it comes back.
Thank you, Supervisor John. Dr. Anthony, I assume that you are a vacation rental owner.
I'm a homeowner.
Okay.
In Santa Cruz County. I'm not a vacation rental owner.
Okay. Well,
nobody is
us.
A vacation rental owner. Everybody's homeowners. And due to different life circumstances, they either live in their home, they either keep their home vacant, they can long-term rent it, they can knock it down and build a new home. They're homeowners, and that's who I represent. I'm not a vacation homeowner.
Okay.
It's interesting that I keep hearing the housing element in these things. Is the housing element only for Live Oak, or is it countywide?
It's countywide.
Then why would you propose an ordinance based on the housing element only for Live Oak?
Well, we could have a long conversation about that, but the ordinance now is looking at it countywide.
Your original proposal was for Live Oak only. You're saying it's the housing, a countywide housing element, but then you focused it only on Live Oak.
because I represent Live Oak, and that's what I was aware of the issues. So that's why I was trying to deal with the issues.
Which
my
issues?
My colleagues thought that the issues that Live Oak was facing were something that they faced in their own districts and wanted to expand it out.
But you prefaced that with, you looked at the housing element, which is a countywide ordinance, and then you decided to just keep it just for your little backyard.
Oh, did you look at the housing element? I thought that was sort of brought into it later. No,
the housing element, which we approved in February of this year, asked us to said that we should explore. Let me get the wording because I have
it. It says to explore conversions. It doesn't say anything to explore regulating current vacation homes.
Explores options for regulating the conversion of existing housing stocks to vacation rental in order to limit the impact of such conversion on the stock of housing and on the integrity of single-family neighborhoods. Okay. So in responding
the original
to,
letter
in responding to complaints from my constituents, I proposed something that would be in the Live Oak Parking District area, the coastal neighborhoods.
So then you must have assumed that that's the only area that's having a problem.
That was the area that I was aware of.
Okay. And then you looked at the data, and what did the data show?
Well, once we've expanded it out and the planning department did some research, they found that there were 450 vacation rentals in Santa Cruz that we knew about. There's probably several hundred more, not including Pajaro Dunes, which is almost all vacation, you know, is some kind of property management. I wouldn't necessarily call it. It was built with a particular usage in mind. And so as we looked at it, it was interesting. There were 450 units that we were aware of, that over half of them were owned by people outside the county. There's conflicting information about how much they paid and the one rule that they had about transient occupancy tax, and that less than half of them were managed by a property management company.
Gentlemen,
we think that number is, by the way, small, because several vacation rental property management companies would not respond to the survey.
Gentlemen, I'm looking at the clock, and we're well into an area where we should be doing a commercial break. Nikki, the pilot in command, is playing music, and that is a definite alert. So take it away, Nikki. We will be back right after this commercial break. You're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Saturday Special, Hour Number 1, with Supervisor John Leopold and Dr. Anthony Abeni. I'm sorry. We'll be back. Stay with us.
And now, this episode of Leopold's Law is brought to you by the good neighbors of SantaCruz.org.
John.
What? What is it, Blanche?
The family's coming. We've got to rent the beach house for Thanksgiving.
We can't, Blanche. It's Leopold's Law. We're not special.
What do you mean we're not special, John?
Only the supervisor's friends are special. Look at this planning department map, Blanche. It's all right here.
You mean these circles? Oh, and it says right here, special consideration.
That's what the map says, Blanche.
Does this mean we have to rent our vacation home from the supervisor's friends? John, that's just not fair.
You may not be special to them, Blanche, but you'll always be special to me.
Oh, John.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Leopold's Law. As the days get shorter, the list of things you need to do to get your yard ready for winter seems to be getting longer. Bagging, mulching, aerating. Well, the first thing that should be at the top of your to-do list is visiting your local John Deere dealer. They have all the equipment and attachments you need to tackle all your outdoor projects, like John Deere Select Series lawn tractors with dozens of attachments. Gator utility vehicles, perfect for work and play. And compact utility tractors when you have a larger piece of property to tackle. And now, as you gear up for fall, you can take advantage of some of the best deals of the season, including great financing options. So while the leaves may be turning orange and brown, the best way to clean up this fall is still green and yellow. Come into your local John Deere dealer and take a test drive today. You'll see for yourself that no matter what the season, nothing runs like a deer. For details on savings and financing options, visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie.
And I'm Dave Christie. From blown fuses to power outages to remodels, Direct Electric will fix your electrical problems. And Direct Electric will do it right the first time at the right price with no service charge. Listen.
I'm Gretchen from Woodstock's Pizza. It's the best pizza in town. We were having problems with some of our electric stuff in our store, and we heard that they are a great business, so we gave them a call. They fixed our problem. They responded immediately, and we were really happy with the work that they did for us. We are friends for life.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric.
If you are in real trouble, ask for Direct Electric 60-minute emergency service. Direct Electric, that's the name. Service and quality, that's what's in the name. Direct Electric, 425-1407, 425-1407.
Welcome back to hour number one of the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. With me in the studio are Dr. Anthony Abinay.
Close enough.
I'm just gonna forget the last name. It's Dr. Anthony, okay? From Good Neighbors of Santa Cruz, and Supervisor John Leopold himself in person. And we're talking about the proposed vacation rental dwelling ordinance. And I don't want to get too bogged down in I realize that this issue, Dr. Anthony, is the issue of special, selective application of the law or something is very important to you. But I think this should be a discussion of property rights, period. Okay? So, did you want to finish up with your discussion here? Because we have a whole lot of callers. We haven't even invited the callers yet. But I want you guys to have an adequate opportunity to present your sides of the argument effectively before we go to the callers.
Sure. Special consideration.
Special consideration.
What special consideration means is that you've created an ordinance that is burdensome, and that there's certain people you don't want to burden with that law, and so that's why you carve people out.
Okay. For example, from what little research I did on this law, or proposed ordinance, people who live on Las Olas near Seacliff Inn are exempted from the law because those are pretty much all vacation rentals, vacation properties. Is that the
reason? Listen, when I proposed my original ordinance, I did not carve out any exclusions. The planning department, in consultation possibly with other supervisors, decided that there should be some areas that should be carved out. Uh-huh. Power Road Dunes was created for a specific purpose. I don't think that there are regular residents of Power Road Dunes.
But you don't know that.
And I haven't voted on it nor approved it, nor this is the part where people should weigh in as to whether there should be areas for special conclusion. That wasn't in my original letter, nor my interest.
Is this new information to you, Doctor?
What, the carve out?
No.
I didn't propose this. Right. You know, if you looked at my original letter, there are no specific carve outs for anyone.
Well, not a location carve out, but there is a year carve out where he wants to ban all vacation homes of anybody who didn't start renting before 2007.
Let me talk about that for a second, because one of the things that I'm concerned about, and as much as this is about property rights, it's about neighborhood integrity, is that trying to figure out some way to say, hey, maybe we have enough vacation rentals in our community, maybe 200 in a 10 block area. Maybe that's enough, and to try to look at some point that we could go back to instead of having a lot of people rush in. When the ordinance has come out, the 2007 piece has been dropped, and there's a broad effort to grandfather in any existing property that has been a vacation rental, and efforts to grandfather in those that have been vacation rentals that have been paying their taxes. So to me, that's a fairly inclusive way of going at it. And I think that's what we want in a public process. We want ideas to come out, public discussion to start, and then try to craft a policy that's reflective of the public's will. And so to me, if my letter was a starting point for that discussion, I'm happy about that. Will everything be exactly the way I had in mind? No one goes into these processes and figures it out that way. You have to put some ideas down, and then you start the community discussion. I think that's healthy in a democracy.
Do you have a problem with that, Doctor?
With what?
That it's healthy in a democracy
to discuss things? Well, there really hasn't been much discussion yet.
Okay.
Mostly it's been the other side.
Uh-huh.
There really hasn't been any public input. There hasn't been any involvement of vacation homeowners at all. I'm sorry, homeowners.
Okay.
Well, let me just say that there have been two incredibly well-attended Housing Advisory Commission. The Housing Advisory Commission has not seen this many people at a public meeting over the last couple of years. Hundreds of people showed up. We could talk. And they came up with a different idea than the ordinance that had come out by the public based on that testimony. So it would be, and we had a public hearing when I originally put this on that was attended by over 200 people. So all I don't think you can accurately say that there hasn't been an opportunity for people to weigh in on this ordinance. There will still be another Housing Advisory Commission meeting. There will still be a Planning Commission meeting, and there will still be a public hearing at the Board of Supervisors.
So if the Board of Supervisors are going to listen to people, then are they going to listen to the fact that right now there's at these meetings there's 3-1 people who just don't want to see this ordinance, that the correspondence is 3-1? Where is the backing for what you want to do?
I go out every week and meet with constituents, and I overwhelmingly hear that people are in favor of some sort of regulation of vacation rentals. As I live and work here in the first district, and as I go into the supermarkets, as I walk down the street, as I see people at community functions, they're very supportive of this. And I understand that owners of vacation rentals are unhappy with it. But
it's not owners of vacation rentals. It's owners of homes in Santa Cruz County, because this ordinance is going to affect every single home in Santa Cruz County. And whether you vacation rent your home now or you live in your home right now, it's going to affect you. And that's why our group is not just vacation.
Who decides whether something is a vacation? As soon as it gets rented, who decides whether it's a vacation rental or vacation rental?
Well, the ordinance as it's been drafted currently would say that if you're renting for under 30 days, it's going to be a vacation rental. But there is some ability to say that if you're only going to be gone a couple weeks and you're renting out your home, if it's less than 30 days total during the year, then that's not a vacation rental.
That's not what it says.
That if you rent it for more than 30 days, it's not a vacation rental. If it's a vacation trade, you know, the people trade their homes.
Yeah.
That's not a vacation rental.
Uh-huh.
So okay. I'm not sure that affects a wide majority of folks here in Santa Cruz County. Most of the people that live here are not engaged in renting out their homes to other people.
But they will lose that right.
They don't lose the right. They have to apply for a permit, just like the city of Capitola, like 18 other cities and 8 other counties
besides
in
your
state of California.
Besides your ban, you're asked for a complete ban after 2007. The proposed ordinance, which we don't even know what it is right now, because
it's
back
to the drawing board. Have you read the proposed ordinance?
Sort of like health.
The proposed ordinance.
I did. And it said that if you live within 200 feet of another vacation rental, permanent vacation rental, you will be forbidden from ever renting your home. And so that's going to affect hundreds and hundreds of homes in the county.
Well, first of all, we would, as the ordinance as is currently proposed, but it has not been voted on by the Board of Supervisors, would say that we should have some density restrictions so whole neighborhoods do not become vacation rentals, and that we would grandfather in everybody who's doing it. But at some point, you would say you can't turn a whole block into a commercial activity, vacation rentals. And so we're going to draw the line on that. And that is about protecting the health of our neighborhoods.
Well, let's talk about the character of these neighborhoods, because you over and over again talk about the character of the neighborhood and the integrity of the neighborhood. Do you know the history of these neighborhoods? Do you know what they were developed as? Do you know that over 100 years ago, Live Oak was for vacation, was for summer homes? The entire area. We know when I drove over here, I passed by a house on 12th that over 100 years ago was already a vacation home and a rental. Okay? Right here. It's on 12th Avenue. It was California Baptist Association, May 29, 1890. And Schwann, who the lake is named after over there, donated land. They ended up with 40 acres, and then they auctioned off 200 homes. And then even the Board of Supervisors, when they were trying to make this a historic home, for most of its existence, this cottage had been used as a summer home or an occasional rental. Since the 1800s, these are not areas that were developed to be single-family areas. These are areas that have always been, for over 100 years, have always been summer homes and vacation homes. Well, and actually, you're trying to change the character of these neighborhoods.
Well, Anthony, I understand. You live over in Los Gatos, and so you look at this as Santa Cruz as a playground. But there's lots of people who live here and work here and would like to live near the beach or would like to enjoy their neighborhood if they've lived near the beach. And we're not interested in turning over the entire coastal communities into a commercial operation. We would like families to live there. We would like people to bring their kids up there. We would like local people to be able to live and work in their community.
You've had 100 years of doing that, and the people of Santa Cruz have decided those aren't areas where people live. These have been second home areas. You look at this, you look at the percentage of second homes in the avenues, for example. They are over 50% second homes. That didn't develop overnight. These are second home, you know, summer
the problem
areas.
I would say that one of the historic problems of Live Oak has been that there's been a lack of healthy urban planning that has gone on that has allowed Live Oak to develop in a way that has not been able to support the urban community that we have now.
So you want to tell people what they can do with their house?
We are proposing modest regulation to ensure that we don't lose the neighborhoods that we have that have been neighborhoods for a long time, and make sure that that the people who are renting their property follow some basic rules of operating a commercial business in a residential neighborhood.
Oh, all right. I haven't even given out the phone number, and our phone lines are absolutely jammed already. So we're going to go to the phone lines right now. We're getting close to a commercial break. I noticed that one of the people on the line here is Tom Quinn, who is the producer and occasional host of the Perspectives program that comes on right after Saturday Special and has for some years. I know this is a particularly important issue for Tom, so I'm going to put him on first. Tom, welcome to the Saturday Special. You're on.
So how's everyone doing?
Well, we're doing okay. So far, there's no blood, you know, so far.
Hey, John, I want to thank you for coming on the air and debating. You know, in the course of this conversation, I don't agree with you, but you're a good sport for coming on the air.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm trying to help out KSCO by getting a lot of advertising for it.
And he has, because we wouldn't have had the good neighbors of Santa Cruz advertising by. So John is my new best friend.
Think local.
Anyway, I'd like everyone to be patient with me. As you know, I've done a radio show for a long time that a lot of the shows had to do with private property rights because people were having trouble with the planning department. And the different dimension I'd like to add is that the ancestors of all of us often had trouble with kings and various governments that wanted to get into someone's home. And if you go back in Anglo-Saxon common law back in the 12th century, and if you really think about this, John, I'm helping you too, because I'm trying to raise the threshold that makes it more difficult for a government official to come into your home, not lower it. Think indeed that if you lived in Iran, or you lived in Northern Korea, or you lived in Nazi Germany, would you like government officials coming into your home? So with that being said, you know, you can go back to, like, Anglo-Saxon common law. you had William Pitt, who was a prime minister of England. And I'm going to say this short quote because, to me, it just hits the nail on the top of the head. The poorest man may in his cottage bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. His house may be frail. Its roof may shake. The wind may blow through it. The storm may enter. The roof may enter. But the King of England may not enter. All this forces dare not cross the threshold of the ruined tenement. So a man's home is his castle. And that's from Anglo-Saxon common law. And that became in our Constitution with the Bill of Rights. Now, when you became supervisor, did you swear to uphold the Constitution?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so what's in the Fourth Amendment?
I don't know it by heart, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Well, bear in mind that if you swear to uphold something, you should read it carefully.
Well, I just don't remember all the parts by their sections.
I'm not going to give you a hard time, John, because most of the people in the audience don't know all the words either. But let me read out a few. The Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, paper, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon a probable cause, supported by oath of affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And why did they have that? Because back then, there was hundreds of government agents from the King of England that kept breaking into people's houses. And they always had an excuse or a reason. So the current situation, even though we supposedly don't have a king in the United States, it's almost like we do, because how secure is a home where the planning department wants to break into it for 110 different reasons? Protective Services.
Tom, we could
or
have
the
a,
fire
we,
department.
We
well,
could,
why,
we,
why
we
are
could have
you
a
adding
long conversation
group?
About what you think the regulatory power of the county is.
And, well, let me ask you a simple question.
I want you to know that that ordinances like this have been passed in over 18 cities, 8 counties. They've been approved by the Coastal Commission. They've
what
been taken to court.
John, is that
and that there are other states and communities that have these all across the country. In fact, this is an international issue. Paris even had to have rules about vacation rentals.
What is the supreme law of the United States, John?
I want to ask Tom a question, but after the commercial break. So stay with us. You're listening to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Hour number one thereof, we will be on the air right up until 12 noon. The phone number is 479-1080 if you want to join us, although if you call right now, you'll get a busy signal. But this is going to be, and we promise that all of you who are on hold will get a chance to get on the air with us. Nikki, go ahead, please, and take it away with a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Jeff Taylor, and I'm running for Congress. Our current Congressman, Sam Farr, tells voters his job is to save your job, and that jobs come from small business. I could not agree with him more. Unfortunately, the jobs Sam votes to save or create are government jobs that must be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Sam also says he wins loans for small businesses. Well, I hope so, because it's his voting record that's making them need these loans in the first place. Sam recently voted for 8 new taxes and massive regulations aimed mostly at small business employers. With these new taxes and regulations, how does Sam expect them to grow and create new jobs? It's time for new ideas. I'm Jeff Taylor, and I will create jobs by voting on legislation that creates a sustainable economic environment for businesses to grow and expand. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress and hold me accountable to create the right environment for job growth here on the Central Coast. I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
Home Space and Workspace are back in business, and you get the goodies. That's right. Home Space and Workspace on 41st Avenue are celebrating their sparkling new store with a giant back-in-business celebration. Get into Home Space and Workspace today and get great prices on hundreds of home and office furniture items. And get free Apple goodies with your purchase, like Apple Shuffles, Nanos, Touches, and iPads. And if you don't like the Apple goodies, Home Space and Workspace will pay your sales tax. Now that's a goodie. Home Space and Workspace are celebrating their sparkling new store at 2701 41st Avenue with a giant back-in-business sale. And you get the goodies. Don't wait. Sale ends Sunday at 4, so get to Home Space and Workspace and get in on the goodies. Home Space and Workspace at 2701 41st Avenue.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangerl. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangerl family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with Jam phone lines at 479-1080 and area 831. Tom Quinn, we interrupted you here for the commercial break. I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
You know that I'm with you on property rights. You know that. And I'm going to tell the audience real quickly what I was going to tell you guys privately that I didn't get a chance to earlier. The reason I own this station is because of property rights. Back in 1988, I and so many other people became fed up with the oppressive policies of the planning departments of the city and county of Santa Cruz that I approached the then owner of the radio station, of this radio station, said, you know, you really should have a talk radio program. It wasn't even a talk radio station. It was a music station. And I said, it would be really interesting for you to have a talk radio program that where the subject is property rights and reforming the planning department and making it so people don't want to commit suicide anytime they want to hang a towel rack or do anything, you know. So we did a program. We formed a group, and my father gave it the name CPR, Citizens for Planning Reform. The Citizens, do you remember that?
I remember it.
Okay. And that was a really popular program. It ran Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. And it was the first chance in my life to become a talk show host that I'd always wanted to, never dreaming I would own the radio station a couple years afterwards. But so we did this program, and I think we had an impact. We built a pretty strong war chest of money to be spent to reform the planning department. I thought we did a good job back then.
Well, and it ran some candidates, too. I mean, candidates came out of it. They were less successful at the ballot box.
Jan Butch, your predecessor, attended our Citizens for Planning Reform meetings,
sure,
planning sessions, and we thought she was a property rights person. When she got elected, she turned out to be the least property rights person I could ever imagine. She was the biggest enemy to property rights. She, and I'm sorry, I'll say that now. And I'm not attacking you. Sounds like I'm attacking her, but I'm not. I'm just stating a fact. The neighbors have more rights than the property owner. That's what I believe Jan Butch thought, and that's what got her elected and reelected and reelected and reelected. And I think if she would have decided to run again, she would have been reelected again. Okay, so you're a neighborhood guy, John.
Sure.
And I think that's why you were elected. Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
I would accept that.
Okay, and that's fine. So I'm just letting people know that to me, to Michael Zwirling, and to people who think like me, there is nothing more important than property rights. It's the cornerstone of our very existence, of our way of life in the United States of America. Now, to Tom Quinn, I want to ask. You clearly, I'm sure you're a guy who reads everything, so you've read this ordinance, which I haven't. Am I right, Tom?
I'm not aware of all the details of the ordinance, but
oh my gosh.
I don't want to get onto the minutiae of the whole thing. I'm trying to bring the conversation up to what I feel the grand issues. And the grand
issues I haven't heard anything. Tom, hold on. I haven't heard anything except from you and except from Dr. Anthony here that would state that. I've heard nothing in the ordinance that gives someone that gives the government the right to go inspect everybody's houses. I don't know where that came from.
Well, I mean, I think that there was. You mentioned that.
Is it just the nose under the tent type idea?
I think that's one of the things you said in your opening, and I said I disagree with something in your opening. I think there's a confusion. The city of Santa Cruz has a rental inspection ordinance. And that's a totally separate thing, not related to this at all.
And it's in effect.
Yeah, yeah.
And has been effect for years?
No, well, I won't pretend like I know. Okay. What I do know, this is fundamentally different than that. That's about inspecting every single home. That's about assuring that it meets certain health and safety codes. And it's being generated out of a comprehensive settlement agreement with the university. That's the impetus for that. This happens to be happening at the same time, but is not related to that in any way.
Okay.
I don't think you're that far off, though, Mike. While it's not an inspection to go and see whether or not there's right toilets inside a house, it is the government coming in and taking a look. For example, they want to know how many people are inside your house. They want to know it. It's in the ordinance.
Which is none of their damn business.
How are they going to do it?
I agree with you, Tom.
Let me just say that this...
And that's why I don't participate in the census. How do you
Let me just say that...
I mean, Michael,
how far
Michael
do you
and his
push
and his
into
and
people's
his
lives?
Well, Michael, in his support for property rights and giving the history of how you came to be involved with this radio station, you pointed out to the policies of the city and county of Santa Cruz, because I think you would say that those policies have been liberal or worse. But I think we look at the city of Capitola, we don't see that as a lefty burg.
I wouldn't say liberal or worse. I would say confiscatory.
Well, I mean, but maybe Capitola doesn't have that same.
I learned something new about Capitola.
Well, I mean, let me just tell you, the Capitola City Ordinance, which I didn't write down what year it had passed, but they have a much more restrictive rental ordinance. They restrict it to a particular area. They also have in their ordinance that the maximum number of persons that may occupy the unit shall be determined by the Planning Commission and may not be exceeded. They have something in there about parking. This has been in place for a number of years, and somehow the city of Capitola hasn't fallen off the economic landscape. It's a vibrant city that attracts people from all over the world.
That's not what the business owners would say in Capitola.
Michael, can I say something here?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
I mean, basically, John Leopold, the supervisor, swore to uphold the Constitution. The Constitution is very clear if you study Anglo-Saxon common law. That basically the government does not have a right to go into your home for any reason. And John, here's the whole thing. There was a saying when I was young, it was mind your own business. You don't like people pushing themselves into your house, into your life. I mean, you want to create a planning department. You want to create this rental department. You've got Child Protective Services. You've got all these agencies that say they have a right to force themselves right into your home. And I'm telling you, it's illegal. The fact you list other cities is allowing this. As precedent, is you're just proving there's bad precedents. They're still in direct contradiction to the spirit of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the American Revolution, and the very reason that we have the freedom today to talk on the radio. I'm trying to protect your freedoms.
Well,
I don't want people breaking into your house.
I'm actually going to disagree with Mike. Okay, Mike is the guy who's on the phone right now.
Tom,
I'm actually going to disagree with you because they can do this. That's the problem. Is they can do it. They've been doing it. We can argue about whether or not they should do it. Because I know right now, if the supervisor wants to ban vacation homes right now, he has the legal authority to do that. He absolutely does. I have a problem with that.
Why do you think I keep bringing the conversation back to the Constitution? We either have a higher law in the land or we don't. If all you guys want to throw the higher law out so that you can fight over the little minutia, the dead body of what's left of it, I'm saying, why not bring the conversation back to a higher plane? Our ancestors fought and died so we'd have reasonable privacy in our life, privacy to have a home, privacy to have a business. So you made a few dollars more by renting a room out. Whose business is that? It's no one's business. Mind your own business.
Well, I think Anthony and I are probably in agreement on this, and we may not agree on much today, besides the weather and the fact that we're able to do this, and where we disagree is whether we should do it or not. And I respect your interests.
You're breaking the Constitution. You're breaking the laws. You're breaking your oath. You swore to uphold the Constitution. If you read the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th Amendment, I could go through point by point. I won't take up the whole show.
We should get together with some constitutional professors up at UC Santa Cruz or anything, and we could have a conversation
about it.
Here we go. Now, a host on KSCO should know not to use that word. That's the last thing in the world I expected today. Okay, Joe, neighbor of KSCO.
Hey, nice to be on the air. I'm a neighbor of yours.
And don't say bull bleep, please.
And, you know, something came up about the Capitola Ordinance, and I was really curious about it because they've had it for years, and we have friends that live there, and they said it's really settled down the village. It's a lot nicer to live there and that. So I just wondered if Supervisor Leopold could talk about that. And, you know, I know it's totally, totally unrelated, but could you fit in a few minutes at the end of the program and talk about smart meters? Because you had a great program on a couple of weeks ago on smart meters, and I just wondered if he could talk a little about that. It has nothing to do with this, but you haven't had him on that, and I was really curious about that. The county's taken a real stand on that. So I just want to hear a little more about how Capitola has survived with one of these ordinances without all the controversy here in Santa Cruz.
Well, the city of Capitola adopted this many years ago, and it was in response to the fact that vacation rentals were taking over homes in Depot Hill and other parts of Capitola, and they decided to limit it to an area. That's not unusual. Many places in Hawaii limit it to particular neighborhoods. When I proposed something to the Board of Supervisors, we weren't talking about those kind of limits. We were not banning them. We were not limiting them to a particular area. We were trying to come up with what I saw as best practices from the vacation rental ordinances that I saw throughout the state of California. And now we're engaged in a vigorous public debate as to whether those are the right elements or not. But I think our board is interested in having sound, reasonable, modest regulation of a vacation rentals. And we might disagree on what those are, but it's very clear to me that having a registration of so we know where these vacation rentals are, so people who choose to either live in a neighborhood or buy into a neighborhood know that there's commercial operations going on next to them, that they pay their taxes, that they have people who can respond to concerns locally instead of having to call the sheriff's department. That's a good thing. Those are all things that after hundreds of people testified, the Housing Advisory Commission said that they still wanted to see in an ordinance. I believe that we should have something like they have in Capitola, where you have that if someone's going to be renting out their property on a short-term basis, that they should have appropriate parking. We have people who are advertising corporate retreats, weddings, reunions to happen in residential neighborhoods. We are turning some of houses into event halls, and we need to stop that kind of activity.
What's the problem with a reunion? Does the county not want families here?
Hey, Michael, one other thing before we... Will you have a few minutes if I want to listen on to smart meter talk?
We'll try. We'll see. We'll play it by ear.
I'm happy to talk about that later.
That's not the topic of the program.
I know, but you had a great show. Thank you for taking my call, Michael.
You bet. Thanks Bye-bye. For calling, Joe, and thanks for waiting so long.
Okay, that's fine. It was interesting. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay, that music means that we are in the home stretch of hour number one of the Saturday special on the vacation rental proposed ordinance. Stay with us. We got another hour ahead.
right here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 11 a.m. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Peace feelers in Afghanistan. President Hamid Karzai confirming he's been meeting on the sly with some Taliban leaders, what he calls countrymen to countrymen. But in a statement out of his office, he also says it's time to, quote, begin to talk with the Taliban at a fixed address and with a more open agenda. The top U.S. commander of the Afghan war on board with this.
General David Petraeus confirming Taliban talks have happened and NATO's been helping.
There have been several very senior Taliban leaders who have reached out to the Afghan government at the highest levels.
Speaking here in London, the Afghanistan commander said NATO gave Taliban commanders safe passage when traveling to Afghanistan for talks. Meanwhile, word that two of the troops dead today were killed in insurgent attacks in Taliban heartland in the east and south of Afghanistan. In London, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
On the other hand, peace talks in the Mideast have hit a speed bump over the Israeli settlement construction issue.
Israel has approved 238 new settler homes in East Jerusalem, drawing criticism from the U.S. State Department spokesman PJ Crowley says the construction is, quote, contrary to our efforts to resume direct negotiations between the parties. Palestinian chief negotiator Saab Erekat responded by saying that Netanyahu had chosen settlements over peace. The U.S. is trying to keep the talks alive. A possible return visit to the region by special envoy George Mitchell is still up in the air. In Jerusalem, Nina Donahue, Fox News Radio.
President Obama out on the campaign trail over the weekend. His message, Democrats should take nothing for granted. No incumbent is safe. He's in Boston this afternoon for a rally in support of longtime friend and political ally Governor Deval Patrick, who's running for a second term in usually reliably Democratic Massachusetts. Chinese rescuers hard at work trying to get 16 trapped miners out of a collapsed shaft. 21 others were killed, more than 200 escaping after an explosion. This is Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in the Fox Light.
A teenager becomes the dragon whisperer. In this week's Fox Light DVD release roundup, Cesar Millan has nothing on Hiccup, a Viking teenager with the voice of Jay Baruchel, who aims to change his tribe's dragon-slaying ways in the CGI animated How to Train Your Dragon. DC Comics' Jonah Hex came to the big screen with Josh Brolin as the disfigured bounty hunter with a mythical and criminal past. John Malkovich is Hex's prey, the man who scarred him and killed his family. And Megan Fox is, well, eye candy. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones, the live document of 1972's Exile on Main Street tour, shown briefly in 1974, then locked away, finally gets a long-awaited and official release. And for the week's Blu-ray and TV on DVD, hit up the Fox Light blog and podcast at foxnewsradio.com. In New York, Rob Moore, Fox News Talk.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk.
California traditionally leads the nation in various aspects of social change, but one ballot initiative up for citizen approval next month has the Obama administration prepared to put on the brakes.
California may legalize pot, but it won't stop the federal government from aggressively prosecuting marijuana laws there. AG Eric Holder said the administration is strongly opposed to a ballot measure in the state that would allow recreational use of the drug. It would block state police from seizing marijuana that complies with state law. Holder said that would be a significant impediment for federal agents. Holder's message seems to be that legalization will invite a new level of scrutiny from Washington, and all available legal and policy options are under consideration. Bill Fitka, Fox News Radio.
Cable TV carrier Cablevision heading back to the negotiating table with Fox today, hoping to resolve their programming fee dispute that's left 3 million subscribers in Philadelphia and New York without Fox channels, which are carrying, among other things, today's Major League Baseball playoff games. A wildlife mystery getting a credible explanation in this survival of the fittest world.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing a $15 million recovery plan for sea otters in southwest Alaska. First, however, the agency had to find out why all the little guys are vanishing. The main reason, killer whales appear to find sea otters delicious. That far outweighs other reasons like environmental and human factors. Sea otter populations in some places have fallen by as much as 90% of late and have been listed as threatened since 2005. A century ago, northern sea otters were almost completely killed off because of hunting for their fur.
Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
A San Francisco Bay Area man at the center of a dispute over whether law enforcement can use GPS tracking technology without a warrant. Yasser Afifi discovering a device on his car during a regular automotive checkup, posting images of it online. The FBI then showing up at his door to claim the gadget, questioning him about overseas travels before saying he was no longer of interest. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Mostly cloudy today. High is 72. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be cloudy and a low of 52 with light winds. And Sunday, cloudy with some showers. About a 30% chance of rain. High of 66 and west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds, and southwest 3 to 5 feet at 15 seconds. Tonight out there, south winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds, and southwest 3 to 5 feet at 15 seconds with some fog and patchy drizzling. Sunday, south winds 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds, and southwest 3 to 5 feet at 15 seconds with patchy fog, chance of showers, and drizzle. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, a couple things to report here. There are some wires down Empire Grade Road at Pine Flat Road, and it looks like there's a tree blocking that area, so we got CHP on the scene working on that. There was also a traffic collision. No injuries, though, on Pacific Avenue at Highway 9. And it looks like it was a two-vehicle collision there. And that happened at 10:42. About a minute ago, we had a roadway hazard on southbound 1 at Bay Avenue. And it looks like we've got a bicycle involved there. CHP is on the scene there. So that's what I got for you. 475-1080 if you have something to report to me that I didn't already report, so I can let everyone on the roads know. And we got some current temperatures here for you. Salinas is at 56 degrees. It's 55 in Watsonville, 57 in Monterey, and we are at 54 degrees here in Santa Cruz. The official time, 11:07:37 on this Saturday, October 16th. Up next, second hour, Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Nikki.
So, Michael.
I think we have a world premiere KS commentary, am I right?
You think correctly.
Okay, well, let's do the hour two opening with that sexy lady from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do that, okay?
All okay, right. Hello.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
We're having what is developing into a pretty spicy discussion about property rights here. There's a proposed vacation dwelling ordinance that's bothering some people.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO.
And we will resume that discussion right after the latest K's commentary.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
What I am about to tell you will make your blood boil. It's called Obama's New Government Leisure Class, Retiring on Your Money. At a time when workers' pay and benefits have stagnated, federal employees' average compensation has grown to more than double what private sector workers earn. Did you get that? More than double. To be exact, federal employees now average $123,049 in pay and benefits, while private sector employees make $61,051 in total compensation, according to the government's own Bureau of Economic Analysis. That's a pay gap of $61,998, up from $30,415 in the year 2000. And that's not even counting the absurdly generous retirement benefits that allow many federal employees to retire with lifetime pensions and health insurance after little more than two decades on the job. So I say all of Obama's recent bragging about giving away many jobs, he's talking only about giving government jobs to friends and buddies in the federal government. Obama also chose his own czars. I don't remember how many, possibly even 40, none of whom were vetted by the Congress as they should have been. And I add about Michelle's contribution to luxurious government jobs. As First Lady, she is entitled to one assistant, maybe two, as other First Ladies to deal with her appointments. But Michelle has over 20 assistants, each compensated by well over $100,000 per year, plus perks, so her friends are well taken care of. Now, you get the best of everything in a government job. Inflated pay, gold-plated benefits, total job security, and a cushy taxpayer-funded retirement starting as early as your mid-40s. This is beyond scandalous. This is plunder, pure and simple. Washington is siphoning off the wealth of millions of private citizens and businesses to support a vast and growing government leisure class whose only concern, it seems, is to further augment their perks and privileges at taxpayer expense. What can we do as citizens? Vote the bums out. For starters, beginning with the Democratic Congress in November, followed by President Obama in 2012. But we can't stop there. We have to demand that whoever takes their place, whether it is Republicans or third parties, we must not go back to big spending politics as usual. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. Back to the discussion on property rights and the proposed vacation dwelling ordinance. Let's go back to the phones. Monica has been waiting 52 minutes and 49, 50, 51, 52 seconds. Welcome to the Saturday Special, Monica.
Hey.
Please turn down the radio.
Oh, hi.
And you're on the air.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Hi.
Supervisor Leopold, I have two simple questions for you and two simple comments. Since you care so deeply about the character of our neighborhoods, I am wondering why so much time and effort is being spent on vacation rentals, which are very few homes in comparison to all the long-term rentals, as everybody clearly knows, including the sheriff's departments, police departments, that the great majority of trouble stands with long-term rentals. They have a lot of police phone calls, they have a lot of cars, they have a lot of people living in them, and I, for one, can tell you I'm surrounded by three vacation rentals around my personal home. I have no problems with any of them. I do own a long-term rental, and it took me over 2 years and all of the wonderful sheriff and neighbors' help to get those people out. So please tell me why we don't concentrate on that. My second question is, if you have studied business economics, because when I personally mentioned to you, for every home that goes into foreclosure, It will affect all homes' values within a one-mile radius radically. You disagreed with me. The economy of that doesn't choose, oh, I'll affect that value of that home because it's a vacation rental, but not the other one because it's owner-occupied. This will affect everybody who works and lives here. And I do work and live here, in case that makes a difference to you.
I think Monica is done. John, you want to respond?
Sure. Well, since public safety is an issue for everyone who lives in Live Oak and I would say Santa Cruz County, when we did the redevelopment planning process that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, where hundreds of people came out, that was one of the five areas in which they wanted us to be spending more resources. And right now I'm working with our sheriff to bring the entire sheriff's operation to Live Oak. Hopefully in the coming months we'll be able to talk about a site where that can be housed. Working with the sheriff, we have actually increased the number of officers that are available in Live Oak, and they've been actively going out and trying to work with the community to address concerns. So if people are causing problems, we need to, and they require law enforcement. I want to make sure that there are deputies there to be able to answer the call. And I think that the people in Live Oak and Soquel shouldn't have fewer officers on duty than their neighboring cities in Capitola and Santa Cruz.
So, Monica, do you want the law to have the proposed law to have more teeth and have it be more cover more?
No, absolutely not. I disagree with this ordinance wholeheartedly. It economically does not make sense. Last I checked, we are a democracy. I do not believe in taking away people's property rights. I think that we are very lucky to be so close to the Silicon Valley and have all those wonderful people who come to our county. The great majority of them are great people. They come here. They enhance our businesses. I don't think any one of us knows a family who will not be damaged by having less tourism here. I think every single one of us, as families, as individuals, and as businesses, benefits by the fact that all these wonderful families choose to come to our county, spend their money and their time here, and go back and spread the word. But a lot of people who live here in Santa Cruz County can't find employment here. They have to drive over the hill. That taxes their family structure. You have two parents who have to drive an hour each way, spend less time with their children, raising them, and the things we're proposing in this ordinance only increase unemployment in our county in the middle of a recession where we should be grateful and thankful people are choosing to come here. The problems are not with the vacation rentals. The problems are with human behavior, but human behavior at long-term rentals, they're there 365 days. Every vacation rental owner that I have been lucky enough to get to know personally cares about their neighbors. They care about their neighborhoods. I really can't say that I appreciated the comments you made to Dr. Ebony that this is just a playground for him. He literally does care about everybody he lets into his home. And I don't think those things are being addressed. Having the heavy boot of the government on us isn't going to solve problems. It's turning into socialism.
I'd like to touch on one thing that Monica brought up, and that in this whole discussion, what we're really talking about here is families coming over here to Santa Cruz. This is the way families access Santa Cruz. They don't stay in the hotels. In the Live Oak area, there's 66 hotel rooms. This is one of the most important beaches for people to access throughout Northern California, throughout the Central Valley. Where are they going to go if we ban vacation rentals? Where
Another
are they
county.
Going to go?
Well,
how?
Let's be clear.
How are we going to fetch?
We are not calling for the ban of vacation
rentals. Your letter said, "Oh, everybody for 2007," and then even the next proposed ordinance basically put a cap on it because
the ordinance has been proposed by the planning department.
Said anyone within
grandfathering
anyone within 200 feet of a permitted vacation home. And listen up, everybody who owns a home right now in Santa Cruz. If you live within 200 feet of a permitted vacation home, you will no longer be able to do what you want to do with your home. That's not what his original letter was. It's actually a little bit better because his was a complete ban. But listen up. And I think that the supervisor, you should let everybody know how they can be part of that grandfather, because I guess we have some time between now and when the ordinance passes. So what will the criteria?
If everybody can be grandfathered, then why do the law at all?
Well, it's not going to be everybody grandfathered. There's going to be people who will not be able to do what they want with their home.
It's discriminatory in many ways. I would like you to take something else into effect. This is an illegal act to be able to enter anybody's home, and that's a whole conversation you guys had earlier. I'll try and stay away from that as much as it's hard to do, because the lack of fairness in this ordinance is so huge on many levels.
Just don't swear on the air. That's what Michael is
I promise hoping. You I won't do that. But it is really sad to see so many families struggling so much, and an ordinance with no research behind it. There's nothing from the sheriff's department or any other department that says vacation rental problems are so much that we need an ordinance that literally puts more homes into foreclosure, more people into unemployment. It just doesn't make sense. Capitola, by the way, has a very difficult time keeping businesses operating. They have a huge turnover. There's maybe a dozen or two businesses that have lasted long term. The great majority of the middle and small businesses struggle all the time. Let me just say about the question of economic impact.
The county of Monterey, which has much more strict requirements than we do here in Santa Cruz, has not experienced significantly greater impacts in the years since they passed this ordinance than we have here in Santa Cruz. So I understand that for individuals who read the ordinance or have read some version of the ordinance or have been told about the ordinance without having read it, that there might be a concern that whether they're going to be able to keep their home. And I think that you have a public process to be able to hear those concerns and make sure that that an ordinance is not being created that unconsciously places some families at greater risk than others. But the number of communities that have vacation rental ordinances are not in any worse shape economically than those who don't have them. And this is not just something that's happening in Santa Cruz. It's not just something that's happening in the Central Coast. It's happening through the state of California. Just this year, the city of New York actually put limitations and bans on vacation rentals.
And the state of Arizona asks for paper, so should we just do what everybody else does?
I'm just saying that if someone else does it, we should do it? No one has made a convincing case to me that the imposition of these ordinances has created a serious economic impact.
Ted Burke, who owns a Shadow Brook, who I would think knows something about tourism, the business council, the board of realtors, everyone of them, including Bob Bailey, who stood up at the first hack meeting, who said there's going to be unintended consequences. Economic unintended consequences. I guess they don't know what they're talking about then.
Everybody has a point of view. They get to share it.
But they're the business.
Hey, you guys and Monica, thank you for your call, Monica. The music is playing, or it was playing. Okay, there it is. That means it's time for a commercial break. Listen to these wonderful commercials, ladies and gentlemen. It's much more important than our discussion, the commercials. Because without the commercials, there ain't no station. Okay, back in a little bit.
Home Space and Workspace are back in business, and you get the goodies. That's right. Home Space and Workspace on 41st Avenue are celebrating their sparkling new store with a giant back in business celebration. Get into Home Space and Workspace today and get great prices on hundreds of home and office furniture items. And get free Apple goodies with your purchase, like Apple Shuffles, Nanos, Touches, and iPads. And if you don't like the Apple goodies, Home Space and Workspace will pay your sales tax. Now that's a goodie. Home Space and Workspace are celebrating their sparkling new store
at 2701 41st Avenue with a giant back in business sale. And you get the goodies. Don't wait. Sale ends Sunday at 4, so get to Home Space and Workspace and get in on the goodies. Home Space and Workspace at 2701 41st Avenue. And now, this episode of Leopold's Law is brought to you by the good neighbors of SantaCruz.org.
John.
What? What is it, Blanche?
The family's coming. We've got to rent the beach house for Thanksgiving.
We can't, Blanche. It's Leopold's Law. We're not special.
What do you mean we're not special, John?
Only the supervisor's friends are special. Look at this planning department map, Blanche. It's all right here.
You mean these circles? Oh, and it says right here, special consideration.
That's what the map says, Blanche.
Does this mean we have to rent our vacation home from the supervisor's friends? John, that's just not fair.
You may not be special to them, Blanche, but you'll always be special to me.
Oh, John.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Leopold's Law.
There have been some epic competitions through the centuries. David versus Goliath, Beta versus VHS, me versus my mother-in-law. But now there's a new competition that's going to take center stage. The John Deere Gator versus your expectations. That's because the new Gator XUV 825i can get you from here to there with an extra shot of adrenaline. It boasts the most advanced engine in its class. Three cylinders with dual overhead cams, 50 horsepower, and fierce acceleration. Plus, with its double wishbone suspension, it laughs at terrain that other utility vehicles go out of their way to avoid. Gator versus your expectations, the new Gator 825i is going to win this one, going away. For great financing, visit your local John Deere dealer today.
For details on savings and financing options, visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
It's 27 past 11 a.m. on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. Let's go back to the phone lines. Kelly in Santa Cruz, thanks for waiting an hour and 2 minutes. You're on the air now.
Hi, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Okay, great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't have a vacation rental, but I have had neighbor issues. Unreasonable people who complain about things that, you know, just really don't seem to be appropriate to get the police involved. Calls to the county. So someone, I was talking about my neighbor problems to a friend, and someone was telling me about this ordinance and that basically you can have your neighbors complain about a vacation rental two times, and then the person who owns the house that is the vacation rental could lose their permit to operate.
That sounds like a comment. It didn't sound like a question.
So I'm just concerned. So my question, I guess, is to Supervisor Leopold. You know, is that how you anticipate enforcing this, that you're encouraging neighbors to take pictures and file written complaints, or is this actually going to be based on something with teeth, like police citations, violating existing noise ordinance, et cetera?
Oh, what a great question.
Well, so there's a couple parts of that question I just want to talk about. One is, you know, that several times during this debate over the last couple of months, the issue of long-term renters and the problems that they create versus vacation rental renters, and that there's a difference between the two of these, and I think there is a difference, and it's not that vacation renters are worse people than long-term renters or vice versa. When someone lives next door to you day after day, you have an ability to get to know that person. If they're walking their dog, if they're watering their lawn, if they're noisy, you have a chance to communicate with them, and they're going to be there the next week or the week after. Vacation renters who come here are going to be here for a couple of days, and through no fault of their own, they have an impact, and there isn't an opportunity for neighbors to get to know the vacation renters, and it becomes it has the potential create problems because you don't know who's living next to you, and if it changes every couple of days, that's hard to feel like if there's a problem in my neighborhood and it's made up primarily of vacation rentals, that there's going to be someone there who's going to be able to help me out if something terrible happens. We live in a place that's prone to natural disasters. We should be aware of who our neighbors are.
Right. That doesn't really answer the question though.
No. I'm getting there.
Okay.
So, this ordinance says that you should file for a permit for your vacation rental, and it's an annual permit, and that if there is documented instances where that vacation property has created problems, then that leads to a review of someone's permit. Now, it's I don't have the ordinance here with me today, so I don't have the exact language. But at least in what I saw that was written up by the planning department, is they looked at a system similar to what they've been using in Capitola for years, which are they have to be documented in significant instances.
But what does that mean?
And it would be decided
by the planning director,
by the planning staff. I don't remember the exact language.
Give more power to the planning director.
And so I don't believe that's capricious, and I think that if you look at the past experience in our neighboring community, it hasn't created a big problem. I understand the concern that you raise is that this is going to pit neighbor against neighbor. But if there are – I've heard from lots of vacation rental property owners who claim that they do extensive interviews or pre-screening of their folks – to make sure they have good people. Well, and I think that for the vast majority of them, that's true. And so I don't think that someone's going to be able to say, hey, one time on July 10th there was a loud party, and then again on September 18th, and that will be enough. I don't think that that's the purpose of it. And in practice in other communities, that hasn't gone into effect. So I understand the concern. I don't agree with the outcome that's being described.
Well, there's a lot of assumptions there. There's a lot of assumptions that just because you know the person next to you doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a great person. I'm sure we could change.
I'm not saying that, but at least you need to know who they are.
We could share anecdotal stories about what's going on, but what you should be doing as a board of supervisor is not just taking the letters. You should be investigating these things. You know where these vacation homes are.
No, we don't.
Yes, you do.
We had to do research after I put together
a letter. Have you heard of VRBO? Where do you think these people are advertising? It's not some secret magazine that people are advertising. They're advertising on VRBO, HomeAway.com, and they're doing it through some of the property management companies. You already have a way to register these people. You have a transient occupancy tax, which people have to register for. And this transient occupancy tax, by the way, Mike, has teeth. If you rent your home short term without applying for this transient occupancy tax, which is a registration, it is a misdemeanor. You can have civil fines and you can go to jail for a year. Why would you need a new permitting scheme to be able to find the vacation homes? We can find them right now. If you have a laptop, let's get on VRBO and let's find all the vacation homes. Let's get all those addresses. And not only let's get all those addresses, let's compare those addresses to what the sheriff calls are. Let's find out where the problems are. And you may be surprised to find out that you probably get more sheriff calls for sometimes maybe long-term renters than you do for short-term renters. And maybe that's where you should be putting your ordinance. If you look at the ordinance the way it's been proposed too, you want to control noise. Mike, do you know where the, you know what they say how they're going to control noise in the new ordinance? They point to the current noise ordinance. It's the same exact ordinance.
You know, in talking with the sergeant who runs the Live Oak substation, we asked him about what kind of data he could give us about vacation rentals. He does it because he doesn't know where the vacation rentals are.
He knows where they are. He knows where they are. You're saying he has the trip.
Listen, I'm telling you what he told me. I'm not telling you. You might have some scheme that you can find these. I'm telling you, and our planning staff has looked at it. They could.
In 2002, when
our Sergeant Fish said that he didn't know which of the houses were vacation rentals. He didn't think that the fines that were levied against loud parties and everything were effective when you have lots of people in a home because they could spread it out over a lot of people.
Like student housing, right?
And he said that having some way to be able to figure out where the problems
Mike,
are.
Mike, in 2002, the Board of Supervisors tried to do this, and it went to one meeting and ended up going away because everybody realized what a ridiculous idea
was. No, because the industry promised to self-regulate itself.
That's not true.
And they were unable to do it. They failed to do it. They said, don't worry, we don't need regulation.
We will
self-regulate, and they failed.
They said was involve us in the solutions. Don't ignore us, which is what's happening right now. In 2002, the Board of Supervisors.
There are public meetings where you get a chance to weigh in.
In 2002, the Board of Supervisors told the tax assessor, find where these vacation homes. In 2002, now VRBO and HomeAway didn't exist back then. It is
VRB,
vacation rental by owner. This is where people, it's on the internet. You can go right now.
Okay.
It is a piece of cake to find out who's renting their homes. Because I don't think there's many people renting their homes that don't advertise. What are they going to do, smoke signal and tell people to come rent their home? They're advertising on VRBO. The vast majority of people.
And Craigslist, probably. Yeah.
The vast majority of people are paying the transient occupancy tax. And when they do that, they register. And it's not that difficult for the Board of Supervisors to tell the tax assessor and to tell the sheriff to compare those addresses and then find out if there really is a problem. They haven't even defined the problem whatsoever. There's no definition of the problem. We're talking about anecdotal evidence when every other county that's passed this has given data. Sonoma, which is right now getting ready to pass this, has data. Santa Cruz County doesn't have data. When Encinitas tried to pass this and they were shot down by the Coastal Commission, one of the main things the Coastal Commission said was, you're giving us anecdotal evidence. You have no data to say that short-term rentals are creating any problems. And the supervisors have no data.
We looked at our research. We looked at Craigslist, VRBO, a house in SantaCruz.com, BeachNest.com, HomeAway.com.
So then it vacation sounds like you know
rental,
where they are.
Vacation Rental Direct. Well, this was the listen. I asked for this data that it wasn't available.
It was asked for in 2002.
And when I wasn't on the Board of Supervisors, let me just say that when I brought this to the board in June. I asked for this data to be created, and for the first time, I've seen that we do have some data. I also know that since 2002, with the advent of increased internet access, that this practice has become a greater impact because it's easier for people to use their homes as hotels or motels where people have very short stays and there's a lot of churn in the property. That is fundamentally different than it was 10 years ago.
That's not true. These aren't hotels.
Right, guess what Olga has said to me in an email via KSCO.com. By the way, you can go to KSCO.com, our wonderful website. You can buy Alex Jones tickets while you're there. There's only about 200 left, gang, and they should be sold out by tomorrow or Monday.
And we have good neighbors of SantaCruz.org, by the way.
Okay, good. And what's your website, John?
Well, I don't have a
bandvacationhomes.org.
Okay. I don't have a website. I work for the County of Santa Cruz. We have a website.
The county of is there the county.gov or something? I don't know, whatever.
It's a very long name.
Olga sends an email via KSCO.com to the show. It says, it's a business. Inspect them, tax the income, and make sure they carry adequate insurance other than ordinary homeowner's insurance. And that's all Olga has to say. She cut to the chase. Okay.
Well, I just want to thank Mr. Leopold for taking my question. This is Kelly again. And I just wanted to say, when I asked you the question about how it would be enforced and how the permits could be revoked, I wasn't that impressed with your understanding of how it's currently written. And I would hope that you would be a little bit more involved in that part of it to protect the rights of those people in your district that are doing this from people who, out of spite, would likely attempt to take away the permits. That's all I'm getting at.
I appreciate that, and I guarantee you that when this comes before the board, I'm going to look very closely at the aspects of the ordinance and the recommendations we receive from our Citizen Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Santa Cruz Kelly. Here's Aptos Bruce. Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special.
Thank you so much. Are you there?
I'm here. You're on.
Yeah, good. Hey, I'm glad John Leopold is so concerned about how many people rent a particular bedroom in Live Oak. It's interesting with the people. You know, it's hard to open the paper without reading about someone being shot to death on the streets of Live Oak. And, I think if you own a home, and especially if you own rental property, if you think that this ordinance is going to stop at vacation rentals, I think you might be too dumb to own a home. It'll never stop. And, he used the example of New York City. New York City liberals like John Leopold have eliminated the middle class. There's no more middle class in New York City. It's very wealthy and very poor. And so the ordinance, it's not going to stop. They're going to keep adding to it, and then it's going to cross over to any rental property. And he also mentioned the county of Monterey. The county of Monterey is perhaps even more broke than the county of Santa Cruz. So that seems to be, not a very good example, because this is going to cost jobs, and it's going to stop the flow of money into Santa Cruz. And so it's like one bad idea, because one county has a bad idea, we need to have it too. No, we don't. We get to decide. And as far as city ordinances, it's a little bit different. The city of Capitola is small. If the people there don't like it, they can change it and do something different. In the county, once that law gets established, it'll be here forever. It'll never change. The hotels will never go back to allowing private citizens to rent their homes. And that's why there's no vacation rentals in Monterey. The politicians get money from the motels, and so that'll never change. But in any case, it's a terrible idea, and it's going to cost people in Santa Cruz a lot of money.
Bruce, thanks for calling the Saturday Special. Prasad, am I saying, pronouncing the word correctly, in Sacramento? My gosh. Prasad.
Hi,
you're on the air on KSCO. Are you really in Sacramento?
Yes, I am.
Oh, cool. Well, here you are.
Well, I have a simple question, I guess, to both the panelists. My wife and I live in Sacramento, and we love to visit Santa Cruz on weekends. And I usually stay in this lovely little cottage on the 12th Avenue, and the beach, Twin Lakes Beach, is nearby. It's just beautiful. I enjoy that. I love to go out and eat in those little restaurants, like the Mexican Taqueria on East Cliff and 14th.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. We have a great time, but only on weekends. And now I understand that there are plans to ban weekend stays on vacation rentals. Is that correct?
Yeah, John is shaking his head.
No, that's not accurate. And this ordinance would not prevent you from coming down here and renting a vacation home. And I'm glad you enjoy the community and patronize the local businesses. I don't think that there's anything in this ordinance that's going to prevent you from doing that. should it be passed. But what you mentioned, 12th Avenue, you might enjoy it, but we don't have very many local people who live there anymore.
And you never did.
Because over half the houses are vacation rentals. And if you start looking at the map of where the vacation rentals are in Live Oak area, you could start seeing whole streets that are disappearing from local residents.
For 100 years, 12th Avenue has been a 12th Avenue has been a vacation home area.
I don't think the people in Live Oak or Santa Cruz are willing to turn over whole neighborhoods to commercial operations.
They're not turning it over. It's already been like that for 100 years.
That's the way you look at it from an outsider perspective.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
From the people that live in that neighborhood, that has not always been the case.
We got a commercial break. We're going to take it, and then we're going to come back and take the calls from everybody else who's on the – Prasad, thank you for waiting so long. I hope you learned something that will brighten the rest of your day.
Well, I didn't actually. I couldn't finish the question there.
Oh, okay. We'll put you on hold here, and we'll let you finish the question here, We do have to take the commercial break here. So stand by. Take it away, Nikki. We will be right back.
You might not be able to say it very easily. Apiary. That's what she said to me. Let me just tell you something about the rest. If you're into bees and beeswax, then you're into Pacific Crest.
Give the most this holiday season by giving the gift of honeybees. Hi, I'm Dana Mum of Pacific Crest Apiary's Honey Farm and Gift Store. Come out for a visit. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos at 875 Calabasas Road.
You'll find Dana's handcrafted beeswax candles in many styles, lots of delicious honeys, and a gift store stocked to the rafters with the kinds of gifts your loved ones will keep forever.
A proud member of Think Local First.
Back for me. Pacific Crest.
Pacific Crest.
Apiary.
Oh, how sweet.
Open Mondays to Wednesdays, noon to 5:30, and weekends 10 to 6. Directions at PacificCrestApiaries.com.
Hi, I'm Jeff Taylor, and I'm running for Congress. Our current Congressman, Sam Farr, tells voters his job is to save your job, and that jobs come from small business. I could not agree with him more. Unfortunately, the jobs Sam votes to save or create are government jobs that must be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Sam also says he wins loans for small businesses. Well, I hope so, because it's his voting record that's making them need these loans in the first place. Sam recently voted for 8 new taxes and massive regulations aimed mostly at small business employers. With these new taxes and regulations, how does Sam expect them to grow and create new jobs? It's time for new ideas. I'm Jeff Taylor, and I will create jobs by voting on legislation that creates a sustainable economic environment for businesses to grow and expand. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress and hold me accountable to create the right environment for job growth here on the Central Coast. I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
Autumn is the time to make certain your home is safe and ready for the long nights of winter. Hello, I'm Charlie Friedman.
And I'm Tino from JM Electric. Charlie's right. Autumn is the time to get a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric. Listen.
My name is Casey Jerome. I own a house in Salinas, California. It's an old house. We knew that it was going to have some electrical issues. We called JM Electric, and they did an assessment for us. There was a lot, unfortunately. Our electric meter was not able to handle the load. All of our outlets, none of them are grounded. So we found out that our smoke detectors didn't work. We were able to get those things fixed. My wife and I feel safe in our home now. JM Electric did a great job.
Don't wait until you blow a circuit. Call for a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric today.
I'll personally come out and walk through your home to see if I can spot any trouble before it happens. I'm Tino at JM Electric, 422-7819, or jmelectric.com, and tell them Charlie sent you.
Would you like to keep getting $200 Walmart gift cards in the mail over and over and over again? The grocery company JR keeps telling you about pays you to spread the word. That's right. They pay you to help advertise by word of mouth. The company pays you in $200 Walmart gift cards or $200 in groceries. It's your option. They also pay you in cash, but you don't have an option about that. You have to take their cash. If this sounds interesting to you, call JR at 831-428-2743. That's 831-428-2743. Or call me, Kirk, 831-335-1108. 831-335-1108. We are happy to send you all the info you need to check this business out. Why don't you see what all the hype is about? Give us a call. Happy shopping.
You always come up with such great bumper music, and I want to let it play, but we can't because we got so many callers. All right, welcome back to the closing segment of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station. We got Adam in Live Oak. Prasad, we got to finish up. Marcy, Harold, Judith, and John. How are we going to do that all in 10 minutes? I don't know, especially since I have to thank the normal, regular sponsor of the Saturday special. That would be California Grill Restaurant that has the chef and the menu of the Adolph's restaurant that everybody misses from Santa Cruz. And California Grill is right at the corner of Airport Boulevard and Freedom Boulevard in that shopping center in Freedom. And the food is great, and the raviolis are great. The calamari parmesan is great. The salad dressing with the chunks of tangy tomatoes are making me drool all over the microphone. Just the thought of it. Yeah, what
did
you say? Yeah, and so go there. I might even go there. I'm getting hungry, getting ready to figure out where I should go for lunch. Anyhow, it's the California Grill in Freedom at the corner of Freedom Boulevard and Airport Boulevard. Thank you for sponsoring the Saturday special. And when you go there, you should thank them, too, for sponsoring the Saturday special. Also, program note, Jeff Taylor, who's running for Congress for the seat held by Sam Farr, and Sam Farr himself will be sitting in the two seats that you guys are sitting in today, next week, next Saturday. It has been confirmed. They are going to go at it. They are going to have a debate. And you, the audience, will have an opportunity to hear that debate and participate in it with questions and comments to each of the candidates. And that will be next week. And we thank Michael Olson for putting that together, as we thank him for putting this show together.
I'm going to tune into that one. That'll be interesting.
That's great. So, let's see. What else do we need to, Oh, and if you want to find out what happens right before what happens to people right before they die, be sure to stay tuned to the next program, Perspectives with Dr. David Biles and Donald Davidson, and a special guest who's been asked to return from hospice. So really interesting programming here on your favorite radio station. So Prasad, we waited a long time, and I promise you can finish, but we gotta go make it really fast.
All right. So the last part was, you know, if I have to spend a whole week's rent to just to spend a weekend, I would definitely not be interested in staying in Santa Cruz. That was all.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your call. Thanks for waiting so long. Our next caller is Adam in Live Oak. Adam, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes. Hi. My name is Adam, Live Oak. First of all, you know, John, thank you for taking this issue so seriously, and you know, Anthony, thank you for showing up. I don't know the good neighbors of Santa Cruz are. I'd love you to tell us about it. But in the meantime, I heard about this and attended the first HAC meeting, and it seemed like a 6-to-1 ratio or something, I heard, you know, against this ordinance. And then I went to the second HAC meeting, and the ordinance hadn't changed. And, you know, that doesn't seem like democracy in action to me. That sounds like the planning department, you know, doing what it was told. And so I wanted to ask you, I guess it's for, you know, John Leopold, where, you know, at what point do we, you know, start listening to people? And, you know, at what point does this, you know, start changing? Because it seems like there's some good intentions here, because obviously somebody's upset, but it seems to have gotten really, you know, kind of screwed up. It seems like there's all sorts of complexities this ordinance, you know, and maybe you're right. Maybe it's a light regulation, but it's hard to tell. I think the last version I read was something like 50 pages. It's really complicated, and it seems like the other callers are all confused. Everyone's all confused. And I think the second HAC meeting, the hack actually recommended a very simple ordinance, and, you know, I thought, you know, maybe you can respond to what kind of simple ordinance actually means, and can you summarize it in like 3 bullets or less? Because, you know, I, for one, can't follow 50 pages. It's, you know, 200 feet. Is it 150? Is it 300? It's really complicated.
Adam, yes. I appreciate that you're talking fast, but you got to wrap it up because you're going to
let me, five other people. Let me just quickly say that the HAC, the Housing Advisory Commission, heard testimony and ran out of time to have a discussion. So they had a second meeting where they heard more testimony, and then they took action. That's why you didn't see any difference between the proposal from the first meeting to the second meeting. They've now directed the staff, as you say, to create a simpler ordinance that's basically around registration, signage, local property management, and dispute resolution.
Something tells me this either isn't going to become an ordinance, or it's going to be a long time, way after this next
calendar
year.
Not what the supervisor wants, though. They're trying to ram it through before Christmas for whatever reason.
Really?
It's due to come back to us. We originally asked for November 16th. I don't think we're going to make that. Yeah.
No, it's not just due, though.
Adam, thanks for your call. John and Aptos, it's your turn. Quick. John.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. DiPole and everybody there? really do appreciate you taking the time, John, to have this discussion. I think it is important, and I really do appreciate and thank you for your time on the radio today.
Thank you.
Couple things is I've been listening for a while, and then I want to just read a letter that Alan Peary wrote that I'm looking at. You mentioned that nothing had been brought to your attention to indicate any negative economic impact. That's a little concerning to me. It kind of tells me that you're not necessarily doing all of your homework and listening to 100% of your representative constituents. You mentioned you didn't have a website, if I understood that correctly. Maybe you should, because in that case, you would get accurate feedback, again, from all the constituents involved, not just the select few that have your ear.
Well, I get lots of emails from people, but both pro and con.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. Another curious question, as long as we're taking polls and getting feedback, has there been any callers on this ordinance today that have been for it? I'm not sure, but I don't think there has been. So that's another good input for discussion. The original ordinance proposed by you was very strict, and it was proposed by you. You were leading this, and it did have to do with property rights of two people per bedroom, seven-night minimums.
A complete ban.
On-site parking, no more weddings or corporate events, no more things of that nature. Now, through public discussion and through two HAC meetings, which we've had, which, by the way, I was at, and I was disappointed not to see you at either one of those, but we have had them. We've had wonderful public input on it. It really was overwhelmingly nobody wanted this ordinance. And at the last Housing Authority vote, the first vote was 7-2 to scrap this thing.
And the only two votes were Supervisor Leopold's appointees, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it was 7-2 to scrap it. Then it was reopened, revoted on, amendments were put in place. Then I believe it came down to about a 5-4 with these restrictions. And here's where I'm going to go to Ellen Peary's letter, because I know we're running out of time. I want everybody to...
I hope it's not more than 10 seconds to read.
Okay, I'm going to read a paragraph that's scary. Now, I'm not going to read what the proposed ordinance is.
Go ahead. Quick.
The planning department will draft a revised ordinance for the HAC to consider on November 3rd, 2010. The Housing Commission may then submit that to the Planning Commission and to the Board of Supervisors as its recommendation. However, and this is very disturbing when you talk about political events, however, the planning department may also draft and move forward with another different version of this ordinance. If so, both versions are tentatively scheduled to be considered by the Planning Commission on November 10th.
In order to ram it through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait a
minute. The question is it basically says that all this could be a moot point, and you could go back and stick whatever you want back in your ordinance, because the Planning Commission can submit something of that nature.
Sounds like healthcare.
What assurances do you give the majority of your constituents out here that you're taking this thing as seriously as possible about talking about putting ordinances and laws in place and really listening to them and not
why the rush?
Writing what
why the rush?
Okay. You know, government often is told that it acts too slow on things. And then when you have a process that's going to take 5 months, that's declared a rush. We're going through a good public process. All that testimony is going to be considered by the board. I cannot say what's going to be brought to the board because I have not been involved in putting together any staff reports or know what the Planning Commission is going to do.
Shouldn't you be?
This is the way the public process. You guys alternate between saying the heavy thumb of government, and then when I say we're letting the citizen process work, that I should be more involved with that.
But then
it sounds like Peary says we should
just ignore it.
I did not attend the two Housing Advisory Commission because there's, you know, the county has many commissions. I don't go to every meeting.
But they were discussing your ordinance.
But I had a community meeting about Floral Park on the night of the first meeting, and I had a second meeting where I serve on the board of I'm the chair of our county's LAFCO, and there was a Cal LAFCO conference that I was at on the day of the second one. I'm not going to go to every commission meeting.
I understand.
We got to move on to the next caller. Thank you, John and Aptos. Judith in Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. My name is Judith Buck. I'm a property manager for a vacation rental company called A Great Place to Stay. I have 60 homes that we're a network of friends. We're basically a group of owners that have gotten together. We're not a big business. We're not a big realtor company. We're just citizens trying to pay our mortgages. Most of my owners want to move into their homes as soon as they can, but they're trying to just get them down to where they can afford them. You would kill my most popular rental. You asked if anybody was going to be going out of business. I have a home that specializes in vacation rentals. It allows people and grandparents. I have so many 80th birthday parties at my home for grandma that I have a special plate for that. It would basically say that no one could stay at my home and fill the house. It would have to be limited to only two people per bedroom. My house has seven bedrooms, but I could only have 10 people in the house. I cannot rent my house for an equitable price for 10 people, and that I can for having it full. It will kill my house. It's only rented half the year because, you know, people, you know, we are driven by this, by the kids coming to Santa Cruz. I have more kids playing in my yard than any of my homes on any of the other streets. There are five children on my streets, and when my children come from their families, they're having a great time playing with the neighborhood kids. It becomes more of a neighborhood than it is when everybody's going to work and there's nobody around. I just had a class reunion that had 40 people there. It was not at the house. They stayed, 15 stayed at my vacation rental, 10 stayed at hotels, and 5 stayed at the Dream Inn. I took all those people to the Art and Wine Festival. They bought lots of stuff, and you're telling me you don't want those kind of people coming to town. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Judith.
And Judith, you know, I know that when our staff was trying to do research on where the vacation rental properties were, they had a hard time reaching you for comments. So I would encourage you to contact the office or our planning department to provide information about that so we could incorporate that as part of our research.
I would love to have your survey. I never got it. And
we had someone who was contacting, and they did try to contact.
I talked to somebody for your office, but they didn't ask me anything like, you know, about the survey. They just asked me about my business.
We'll call the office and let's get the information into the database.
Who should I talk to at the office?
Just call my office and we'll get you in contact with the right person in the planning department.
Thank you,
Judith. Harold in La Salva Beach.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Quick.
Great. Hey, John, I just wanted to let you know that the people that support your efforts are out here. It was very brave of you to go into the lion's den and endure those silly commercials that they ran by you.
Thank you.
If we have the time here, the property rights issues have been thrown around a little bit. And I'm aware of the property rights situation, but they are not without limitations. I do believe they have to take into consideration the rights of others, and they need to be legal and they cannot be dangerous. And in terms of any legality, if one were to Ewing versus Carmel by the Sea, the courts have already ruled on the property rights issue. And, John, also one thing that you forgot to mention is that with the vacation rental people, there's only a third that actually pay the TOT tax.
How do they know that? Where'd you get that data?
John, you want to help me out with
well,
this one?
Well, when the planning department... when the planning
you're
department-
making it up.
When the planning department first did this research, they identified that only a third of them had been paying their TOT. One of the problems that we found in doing that is that vacation rental property managers pay in one check. And so in further research, we've been able to define that more are paying TOT than we originally thought. So that was information that we originally had that proved to not be completely accurate.
Thanks,
one of the things we do know is we don't know where all the vacation rentals
are.
You do. So we don't know who's paying tax and who's not.
Here's a certified letter. This is what governments do. They send you a certified letter, and they threaten you. They say, we understand you're a vacation rental. We understand you're advertising off VRBO. You don't happen to be registered for TOT. Either pay the TOT or we're sending you to jail. I don't know why you need another ordinance that's stronger than that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Harold and LaSelva. Marcy, this will be our last caller. Marcy and Live Oak, we're already halfway through Fox News, but this is more important than Fox News. Okay, Marcy, quick.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm with John from LaSelva Beach. I'm grateful that an ordinance is being proposed. I'm a homeowner in Live Oak. I actually live in my own house. The owner of the house next door to me is running what's essentially a commercial business, a hotel or motel without any on-site supervision. It's greatly affected the way I live in my own home, and I think I have property rights as well.
Right.
And,
you have ordinances to protect those rights already.
What can people do when there is no ordinance?
You already have ordinances. You have noise ordinances. You have trash ordinances. You already have occupancy ordinances.
I understand what you're saying, Marcia. I don't think that county government or sheriff's deputies should be managing properties. I think that people who own the property should manage it and not count on the police to be their backup.
Exactly. That way they can go address crime and gang problems and not have to deal with neighbors.
And so then how does this ordinance solve this?
Excuse me?
I'm asking the supervisor, how does your ordinance solve that?
Well, I propose that there be signage on the home, so with a local contact person, if someone you can call,
okay,
instead of having to call the sheriff's deputy if there's noise, that you can actually call the owner or their property manager to come deal with the problem instead of having the our sheriff's deputies serve as nannies to the property.
And with that, we are done, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for
John.
Calling.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you,
all the
callers. Wish we could have carried it further. We've already sliced off 100% of Fox News. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas Monterey. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. So tune in if you didn't get to hear it all. Or later on this afternoon sometime, you'll be able to hear it on demand at KSCO.com in the Saturday Special Podcasts section. Thank you, Nikki. Great job as always. We will see you next week with Sam Farr and Jeff Denham.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. We can't even join Fox News in progress because it's over. So here's the weather with Nikki.